the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Business Property and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and with me on this podcast all the way from Florida is a good Facebook friend of mine, Mark Evans. Welcome, Mark. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Daniel. How are you doing today,
buddy? I'm fabulous, thank you. Whereabouts are you exactly?
I'm in Palm Beach, Florida.
Dude, that sounds like it's heaven. From where I come from, which is Yorkshire in England, the differences in the world. So you come from a place that I only really see on TV. it's just amazing, you know, and just the differences in lifestyle that we have. I'm a little bit closer to it now that we live in Spain because it doesn't rain all the time. But I'm guessing you guys have blue skies and sun pretty much every day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, right now it's beautiful out there. It's about 80 degrees. It's perfect. Oh. And yeah, it's gorgeous.
Fabulous. And how long have you been in business for?
June 21st will be 20 years exactly. So almost 20 years.
Fabulous. And specifically, what are you in the business of?
I'm in the real estate investment turnkey business. So we buy and sell houses every single day, and/or apartment complexes. And I've been buying properties for 20 years now. So I think I'm still trying to figure out what I do. That's what I do right now.
You know, when you meet people at networking events and they say, so what do you do? And you're like, well, how long do you have?
Yeah, exactly.
Because life's too short. I know people say, oh, you should just focus on one thing and do that really well. And I get that. But dude, that's boring as hell. Why would I want to do that? There's all this extra stuff I could do that's loads of fun. Why would I not want to do that?
Yeah, exactly. One thing I figured out, Daniel, is as I'm growing my business, real business is very boring. Mm. So what I've done is I know I don't like being bored. So what I do is find people to help me that enjoy the day-to-day, the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
And the mundane things that you and I don't want to do or don't enjoy. And then I hand those off and then go build something else and or make something else better.
I've got
it. I agree 100%. There's so much opportunity. There's just so much to accomplish out there.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost like, you know, if we live to average age of 80 years of age, it sort of feels like we've been cheated and that, you know, why can't we live to 500? Just so that we get to experience everything, all the experiences that are out there in the world. How did you get into real estate then?
Yeah, so literally I come from a small town out of Columbus, Ohio area. My parents did not have much money at all. Back in the day, we used to watch Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Okay.
So I would wonder, how could people have nice cars, go on these amazing houses, have these amazing houses, go on these amazing vacations? And I just never knew how that would be possible. So I literally just worked. That's where I come from. You just work really hard and hope for the best. But the problem is everyone's still doing the same exact things today that they were doing 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I just figured out, hey, what's something I can do? I never went to college, barely graduated high school. And I said, real estate's it. Everyone talks about real estate making the most money, this and that. So I just went to a course and watched a guy make a phone call, called a motivated seller and said, I can do that.
That's amazing.
And so started the journey.
That's amazing. So, like, just going back to that very first deal, because real estate is huge. There's so many different aspects of real estate. And I know we talk about property and investing, but it can mean absolutely anything from rent to rent, lease options, to flipping deals, to nursing homes, all sorts of different things. What was your first deal like and how did you get into that deal?
Yeah, absolutely. So I talk a lot about it in a book I have called One Buck Deals. But really, so back when I started, Daniel, it was newspapers. We didn't even have the internet. Really,
no, of course.
Right? So,
yep.
I saw a newspaper ad. I called the guy on the newspaper ad and said, hey, my name's Mark. Here's what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. It was more about them. I think this is where a lot of beginners and people in business get confused. It's not about me, the person calling, but it's about the people I'm talking to.
Yeah.
So I'm having a conversation. He's like, and you probably know this as well, Daniel, but like oftentimes investors are good at one side of the business or the other.
Mm.
This guy was really good at buying, but he was not good at selling.
Yeah.
The only way he could buy more is if he sold more though.
Yeah.
So he's kind of caught up in the middle and is, you know, emotionally and financially like, I need to sell more properties, but I can't because I'm not good at it because I'm full steam buying.
Yeah.
So I kind of became an arm to his company where I would just like acquire the property and turn around and sell it on a lease option.
Perfect.
So I had the hustle muscle on the lease option world. I knew that world. And then all of a sudden, we created a strategic alliance. I think my first deal made like $12,000 or $15,000. Five-figure check for sure. It's around 10 to 15 grand. And I still had no clue why these people gave me money, except I just did it. So, I mean, I messed up everything you could imagine messing up on that deal and still made money.
Brilliant. And you're not alone in messing up. And the more you mess up, the better you get, frankly. So effectively what happened was you found an investor who had a deal. So he negotiated the deal with the vendor and he was very good at that, but he couldn't offload that deal. And you came in with your skills and abilities of copywriting and all of that sort of thing and personality and everything else that makes you you. And you were able to go out and find a person to effectively sell that lease option to.
Yep, exactly.
Brilliant. And how did you find the person to sell it to? What was the process there?
Well, the magic happened. All I did is simply go to Lowe's or Home Depot,
yep,
and put a sign. I bought a sign that said "House for Sale," and I stuck it in the yard and said "Rent to Own."
Fabulous.
I put my number on there, and literally, it just got a lot of calls. So sometimes, again, it doesn't have to be fancy, as you know. Sometimes the simplest things work. It's a multi-pronged thing now, knowing that, and I want the odds in my favor. But back then, again, we didn't have internet. We didn't have cell phones where you could push a button and 13 things happen. Like literally. Put a sign in the yard, but for rent by owner, call now. They called me, and I sold the property.
Do you know, I think it's really interesting because people overcomplicate things so much. And as entrepreneurs and business owners, we're constantly wanting that next piece of information, thinking that if I just got that one little bit of information, then everything would work out wonderfully. And actually, we've already got the information that we need. We just need to get off our behinds and go do the damn thing. Like sticking a sign up in the front yard. Oh, that will never work. Of course it bloody will. Why would it not work? Why, you know, people walking up and down the street, you know, people want to do it. They can't get a mortgage. We call them tenant buyers here in the UK. I don't know if you use the same terminology there. But why would that not work? Oh, it's too simple. Yeah, but simple ideas do work. I noticed a seven-year-old girl has just invented, you know, when you go to the shopping mall and you have like 20 bags of groceries, and you try and, you know, from the car to the house, you try and lift them all up and, you know, and you can't do it. So she's invented an octopus thing, a handle with an octopus leg that you hold onto the handle. It will hold like 6 bags, 8 bags.
Oh, that's awesome.
This girl's 7 years of age. And I looked at that and I was like, just the most obvious idea ever. And it took a seven-year-old to invent it, because as adults, we get too complicated. And you know, it's the KISS principle, isn't it? Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So, okay, you got that first deal in. How did you then expand the business? Because I take it you also got the bug then and you wanted to go out and do more.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think all I did at that point, again, I was 18 years old. I literally, the way I doubled and tripled my business is just worked harder.
Yeah.
Right? So now with technology and all these things out, again, I'm not afraid of working. I'm more afraid of working hard and not smarter.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't get this time back, but... You know, I literally just became, you know, engaged and very obsessed. And I'm talking 16, 18 hours a day. How I would work 20 hours a day didn't matter to me back then. So still today, like, I can't wait to wake up to work and get things done and accomplish more. But, like, the way I started growing, so back then I didn't really call myself a business owner. I called myself an entrepreneur that was making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I was making a lot of money, but I had no procedures. I had no processes. And my product was really good. That's why I was able to make money. And I had hustle behind it, so I was able to make money doing it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I started transforming my life and my business when I started asking myself, how can I work on my business, not in my business?
Yeah.
Right? Because you and I can only do so much.
Of course.
I started asking myself, where am I spending the most time in my job, a high-paying job is what I called it for myself, in my high-paying job. And then I started handing pieces off to, like, an assistant, to a deal coordinator, because everyone I know that are like you and I, Daniel, we hate paperwork. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So those were the first people I hired. It literally gave me an extra 10 hours a day, I think. So to focus on my unique ability, finding deals, connecting with guys, and closing deals. That's how I started building the business up to that next level.
So there's two things that stand out there for me. The first one is, as you frame it, the hustle muscle. I've heard that term before. It's not necessarily a term. I mean, we use the term hustle, but to hustle someone here in the UK means to like steal from them or something. But when you say hustle, you mean get your ass out of bed and get working 16 to 18 hours a day. And I meet so many people who seem to have an affliction towards getting their ass out of bed and doing the work. And sometimes it's been me even, you know, because I can't find the motivation or whatever. But the second bit that you then mentioned was the systems that you put in place. And and you talked about moving some of those systems, the easier ones, out to third parties. I think some of the entrepreneurial problems are that they think that no one else can do it as well as they can. And I'm sure you had that as well. How did you overcome that?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we all are psychotic thinking no one can do it better than us. The truth is, I still think that way, and I know it's not true. So I think it's just part of who we are. That's what, because we're responsible for everything. I think we take a high level of responsibility for our actions. Therefore, we think we're the best at everything we do, even if we're not. But I think if we do take it one step deeper and say, okay, I am really being responsible and I am taking accountability for my actions, finding this person and just putting the trust and belief into them, kind of how I did it too, Dan, is like, Daniel, is like, I said, okay, for, I'm trying to make millions of dollars a quarter and I'm doing $10 an hour jobs.
Yeah.
I can only expand so much. I can't, it's just not even humanly possible. Just basic math 101. There's not enough hours in the day if I'm making $10 an hour work to make $1 million a quarter.
Yeah.
So what I did is said, okay, well, if I hire two people at $10 an hour and they only did it 50% as good as me, each one of them, we're at 100%. So maybe I have to hire two people to do what I would do 100%.
Yeah.
This is how I thought to myself. And the real truth is now today, these people are way smarter than me, knowing what I know now, taking a step back.
Yeah.
I have an amazing lady. Her name's Roseanne. Dude, she closes 100 deals a month for us, and she's like the most amazing. She's just so organized and knows what's going on with buyers and sellers and title companies and IRA companies. Like, she's so engaged at the next level. It's just a whole other world that I live in now.
And also, I think that level of detail is possibly a level that you don't really want to get into, because you're more of a top level guy now.
Well, yeah, I mean, details. For me, the detail, I get clogged up in details, Daniel. I don't know about you, but like, if I got to do details, I literally, it takes me 7 hours to do something that should take 10 minutes.
Sometimes.
I avoid it like the plague.
Yeah.
So I know that's a weakness of mine, and I don't try to improve my weaknesses. I try to hire people to pick, you know, to take care of my weaknesses. I try to improve my unique abilities. That's all I try to focus on.
Interestingly as well, because I know entrepreneurs and they're still doing the washing and the ironing, and I'm like, what are you doing that for? For goodness sake, we've got a cleaner at the villa here in Spain. We have a cleaner at the house in the UK, and they do the ironing as well for us. We would never be doing. Why would I be doing a bloody ironing? For God's sake,
exactly.
That's crazy. For £10 an hour, I just paid someone else. Cobbed up for our cleaners on like €7, which is like I don't know what it's £5. It's about $7 or $8, I guess.
It's just
amazing. So. Yeah. You mentioned 100 deals a month. That's a huge amount of deals. How do you go out and find those type of deals, and what type of deals are they?
Yeah, so, I mean, these types of deals are going to be different. I mean, you know, an average month for us is 50 to 100. So there's a big swing in there. The reason is because it's real business. I wish it could be like 75 deals a month consecutive, no ups and downs. That's
yeah.
not how real life is.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I'd say 95% of our business is direct mail. We're very high-level direct mail. We spend a lot of time and energy and money on direct mail to find the deals and extract them from the marketplaces.
Can we drill down into the direct mail? Because here in the UK, the only direct mail we really do is leaflet drops. We don't do any other type of direct mail. Just drill down a little bit more into the types that you do.
Yeah, so what we do postcards.
Okay.
So it's a 4x6 postcard almost, a 4x6 postcard.
Yeah.
Our goal is to extract people. So we go after people that are non-owner occupied, they don't live in the house, they bought it as an investment, they inherited it or whatever. And then what we do is so my biggest gift is we don't go wide, we go deep.
Yeah.
So that creates focus for us. So I see a lot of guys out there just trying to, you know, do 85 different campaigns. It's hard to track one from my experience.
Yeah.
So we're really hardcore focused. We drop a lot of mail, and all we're trying to do is extract highly motivated people. And as you know, Daniel, once you start doing the business, I've been doing it almost 20 years now, there's a lot of people come to you. We buy from banks now, as well as we buy from, you know, joint venture people bring us deals all the time as well. But at the end of the day, direct mail is king in our world by far.
So just to clarify, what will happen is you'll identify someone who's a non-owner occupier, and then you'll drop, hand deliver a postcard through the letterbox?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the person picks it up and then just phones you?
Yep. So they read it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, I want to sell it. Boom. They call us. They listen to a voicemail that we have.
Okay.
And then when my team comes in, so my whole team is, I'm a spoken hub model, kind of like FedEx.
Yeah.
We're all in Palm Beach, Florida, and the properties are in Ohio mostly.
Okay.
So our team comes into the office and then they have, you know, 400 calls that day to call out of people that's called in from direct mail. And now we call them. We don't take live answer. We do all voicemail stuff.
I love the voicemail idea. That's such a wicked idea. How many postcards do you drop to specific houses, and how do you get the people to identify those houses or those properties?
Yeah, good question. I mean, again, this is a massive variable because we're always adjusting.
Of course.
Depending on markets. But, you know, if the average person dropped 500 to 1,000 postcards a week, I think I see a lot of guys out there saying, oh, I dropped 50,000 postcards a month. You know, you don't need to do that kind of volume. Now, if you're in California and San Diego in a super hyper competitive marketplace, you might want to do that. And or I could teach you probably other strategies as well.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, if we drop 8,000 to 10,000 postcards a week in our five different subset markets and, you know, with one test in there, 10,000, 40,000 a month. I mean, that's a pretty decent volume for us. We're probably going to get, you know, an 8 to 12% response rate on all that.
That's a really good response rate as well, by the way.
Yeah, so I'm not looking for volume, though. I think this is where a lot of people, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for volume. We're looking for quality, not quantity. So if anybody's ever ran a sales floor or had salespeople work for them, or, you know, these people come in every day and spend my money, right, Daniel? So they're buying houses with my cash.
Yeah.
So what I do is I come in, I get them all excited. I'm like, guys, how much money did you spend on mine today? Get excited, laugh, ha-ha. But the problem is if you give them a bunch of crap leads, they get very down on themselves. They feel like they're losers. They feel like they're not accomplishing anything. And keep in mind, they're only paid on performance. So my job as an owner is, how do we get them high-quality, qualified leads? And that's what direct mail can do for you at that high, high level, just by digging deeper. I'd rather have the guy, truthfully, there's some weeks that we might only have 150, 200 leads, but all the, like, 80% of those are going to be potential deals.
I've got it.
So, depends how hard you dig deep into those prospects.
You know what's interesting as well, when I think about property investors here in the UK and you know, around the world, they put a leaflet or a postcard together and, you know, they have a picture of a couple or a family, and then they put some text on the front, a headline, and then like five different things. Are you going through repossession? Have you got debt? Are you going through a divorce? Have you got a house that's, you know, from a death in the family? And then they send that out. And literally, the amount of time that they spend on the actual wording is like 10 minutes. Uh-huh. And there's no testing. So they go out and they drop, I don't know, 20, 30, 40,000 leaflets. And I'm like, how many leads have you got? Like, none. Leafleting doesn't work, they then say. And it's like, no, it does. It's just that your leaflet doesn't work.
Well, yeah, what you said, Daniel, is up. I'm telling you right now, this is a multi-million dollar thing that you just said. Seriously, like, I have people come to me, they think direct mail costs money.
Mm.
Direct mail never costs money. It's an investment.
Like, yep.
We're looking to get a 10 to 20 to 1 ratio.
Yep.
So if I spend a dollar, I want a $10 bill back or a $20 bill back. So the question is, how can I spend more money? How, you know, a lot of people are saying, I can only spend $5,000 this month. I'm asking, how do we spend $5 million this month?
Like, yep.
It's just a different context of questions, but one's a driver, one's a pullback method.
We get it as well. One of my businesses is a lead generation business, and we get clients and they say, no, I can't afford to do Facebook ads. And it's like, well, the whole point of a Facebook ad is that you sell something at the back end, which then, you know, brings up more money to put into more Facebook ads. That's the whole point of doing it, right?
Right.
And it's,
you
like,
know, I mean, as you know, though, people that say that are not business owners.
No.
They're wannabe entrepreneurs, and they see guys like you and I that are spending the money and growing a business saying they want to be in business. But they don't have the balls or the guts to take it to that next level, and or they just have a good mentor to kick them in the ass and say, look, you need to do it. Like, it's mandatory you invest in marketing.
Yep.
You have to. That's the only way to grow, as you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the saying is, everybody wants to be a millionaire until you have to write a check. Or pick up the phone, or get out of bed, or do what millionaires do, and... You know, it's really interesting. Okay, so you're doing between 50 and 100 deals and just in one area. And the area in which you're doing them in is Ohio, but you're quite far away from Ohio. So you're fairly distant. So the systems that you've got in place obviously have to take that into account.
Yeah, you know, so like I wrote a famous book called Virtual Real Estate Investing Made Easy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get it twisted. Like, to me, virtual real estate is not necessarily about being in Florida and doing deals in Ohio. That's kind of cool, and it is virtual, obviously. But virtual to me really is, are you familiar with like E-Myth, Michael Gerber?
Yeah, absolutely, yep.
So to me, virtual is a mindset. It's a business process. That's what virtualization means to me. It doesn't really mean, well, I'm from afar. knowing what I know now, I would still be a virtual investor, even if I was on houses right next door to me. Because again, it's a systems, it's procedures, processes, and people. I need all three of those. So what I've done is I've created a system. We have a lot of people on the ground in Ohio, hundreds of people in Ohio, from property management companies to inspectors to, you know, from contractors to subcontractors to insurance companies. I mean, we have a lot of people on the ground. So that's a procedure. Like if a property comes in, we have a whole model. It's kind of like a machine, if you will, where when a leak comes in, X happens, B happens, Y happens. Like there's a flow, there's a chart, there's everyone has roles and responsibilities and accountability with my company. So again, I could be involved or I can be stepping back and things still happen the way they need to, right? So for me, Daniel, that I see a lot of people think virtualization is like, oh, I do nothing. I sit on the beach and smoke weed all day and make millions of dollars. That's not how it works.
Yeah, I've got it. Okay, so that's the business side of things. What about getting like a work-life balance? Because obviously you're up at 5. You've got family as well.
Yeah, I have a 9-month-old son and a wife. Yeah.
Fabulous. Congratulations on the son and the wife, I suppose. And how do you manage that work-life balance? So for me, for example, I have two children in the UK and I fly back every 2 weeks to go see them. And then I have an 18-month girl here in Spain, and my wife and I live here in Spain. And my work-life balance is phenomenal. I have a wonderful relationship with all of them. But it takes work, like everything takes work. Anything good is going to take work. How do you do it, and how do you maintain that work-life balance?
Yeah, I don't know. You might have to ask me in 40 years from now. Yeah, at the end of the day, Daniel, you know, like I like to get up early. My wife gets up around 7. The baby's up at 7 or 8. I go down to Starbucks or I go to the gym. I come back. You know, my whole day is all, you know, geared. I know when I'm the most, like from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., I'm the most productive guy in the world. Yeah. I can get more done in those 4 hours than my buddies can do in 4 years, literally. Like guys I know that I went to school with. So I know where I need to be the most engaged and most involved in my day. Anything after that, if after 9 a.m., 10 a.m., depending on if I'm, you know, running behind on that, I know whatever else happens after that is literally happening because of that. Yeah. So from deals coming in to, you know, calls like this, you know, podcasts, I think work and life balance is a bunch of BS, truthfully, because what I try to do is I've been blessed to figure out, like, how do you incorporate all of it together? Like, for example, if my wife and I are going to a meeting, you know, going to dinner with some people, I'm always talking business. Yeah. The truth is, I can't even remember, unless it's family, and I still talk business to the family. I can't remember the last time I went to a dinner with other people that I wasn't talking about business when my wife was with me and my child was with me.
And so, you know what's really interesting about that, Mark, is that when you talk to your friends who are actually employed and they go, well, you never get a time to switch off. And the answer is, dude, have you seen my life? Why would you want to switch off from that? Because it's freaking awesome. And they're desperate for 2 weeks holiday every year, and that's it.
Right.
Whereas for you, every day is a holiday. Oh, it can be, because you can make that choice because of the work that you've put in. And if you choose to work, then that's great. And if you choose to take some time off, then that's great as well.
No, 100%, Daniel. I mean, that's how I always think. The truth is, I used to read books, because when I talk about unbalance, I used to work 20 hours a day. I'm not even exact. Like, maybe 22 hours a day. I was barely asleep. This was in Ohio when I had company, a lot of people, you know, in an office. And I was just stressed, man. I had more money in the bank than I ever had at that time. I had no connection with anybody except making money. That was my connection, truthfully. That's how I felt like I was successful, right?
Yeah.
So I think it really starts with us as an individual, what's important.
Yeah.
And what's important to me is all of it. So I'm trying to figure out how to be a great father, a great husband, and a great business owner, and a great dad, and a great brother, and a great son. And, I'm trying to figure out how to be all these things. Mm-hmm. And I used to read up on all that stuff. And the problem is I think there's just a lot of people that are unbalanced when I'm just reading about that. I personally get, you know, stressed out when I read that kind of stuff. So I just try to do the right thing and be there for everybody. If anything, I'm that guy that, you know, is trying to help make everyone's life easier because I have money. I have time.
Yeah.
So I kind of make people become complacent, truthfully, like family specifically. But, I just want to do the right thing. I want to be the best guy I can be in the world, or to clients, to customers, to my employees, to, like, all these pieces, dude. Like, I'm in it. I'm in it to win it every single day, truthfully.
Yeah. Love it. And it's that hustle again. It just comes through in everything that you do, from being a dad to being a husband to being a brother, a son. It's that hustle. Everything takes work. And this is, I think, sort of, I just don't understand why people can't get this. And they get into this relationship and then it doesn't work. And it's like, well, when was the last time you did something romantic? And then, oh, no, I don't do romance. It's like, dude, that's why it's failing. Or that's one reason, right? It's not the reason, but it's multiple reasons. That's just one of them. And it's not just, you know, it's like the hair. Is it the straw that breaks the camel's back? That one piece of straw? It wasn't that one piece that broke the camel's back. It's all the other pieces that you've got to put together to be a holistic person as you move forward. And also, and I'm pretty sure this has happened to you, when with the birth of your son, your values as to who you are and who you see yourself being, they will change and adapt as you grow. And, you know, instead of Friday night out with the guys, it's, you know, Lucia just last week, she was so ill, Friday night, 11 p.m. at night, and she was, you know, we call it the vomit comet, and she was so ill. She was just, it was horrific. And I was like, and I was covered in it, and I was like, how Friday nights have changed. But I wouldn't change it, you know.
It's your vomit on you instead of your.
It used to be good, you know, 10 years ago, but now it's like, oh gosh, and now you can't wait to get to bed for 10, to get some sleep because you know you're gonna be up at 2, and you know, it's just part of being a parent. But it's awesome, you would never change that. But even that takes, you know, it takes effort and energy and so on. Okay, so what's next for you then?
No, you know what's, I don't know what's next for me, but I know what I'm doing today.
Okay.
And I've been doing it for many years, so I feel like it's going to be next as well. You know, it's really just focusing on building the team bigger and stronger. More importantly, helping our clients achieve their goals at that next level. So for me too, Daniel, you know, talking about like client connection, client relations, you know, I see a lot of guys out there selling hard and all that stuff. What we do is we disqualify hard and make the sell easier. We want to be order takers and we want to be guy. We want to serve the clients to the level of, you know, like if I'm talking to you, Daniel, I'm asking you financial questions, where you're at, where do you want to be, where do you want to go, what do you got today, you know, what's your problems, what's your gift, et cetera. Really understanding you as a person.
Mm.
And this is something that I'm working really hard with my team every day to help become better at listening, better, you know, stewards of, you know, guiding clients down the proper path, if you will, and real estate investments and such. So for me, it's just making the team better. I've been more engaged in my company in the last probably 3 months than I've been in many years.
Yeah.
Just because I saw, as you know, as a leader of a company or the entrepreneur in a company, when we step back, there's certain things that do kind of like go downhill a little bit. Not necessarily on customer experiences and all that, but just kind of things get a little looser.
Yeah, of course.
I bring intensity. I'm an intense guy. I wake up like ready to kill the world, and you know, my wife, and when we're talking, I just talk intensity. You know, like, I'm just intense. So when you bring that into an environment, again, we're buying houses every day. We're selling houses. There's millions of dollars flying around. There needs to be intensity. There needs to be excitement. There needs to be energy flowing. So I think I've brought that back in the last 3 months into the company to that next level, and I'm continuing to do that. I really feel right now with where I'm at in my life and in my business, I believe we'll triple our business in the next 12 to 18 months.
Wow.
Just with me stepping in and paying 100% attention,
because
I kind of have become complacent. We have a lot of money coming in on businesses that I own and all these different things happening, and you and I were talking about this prior to the show, like, if I don't work, I'm cool. But I love working. Like,
yeah.
I can't turn it off, man. I can't turn it off.
I'm like that car that if you turn the engine off, I'm sure when you had no money, you've had a car like this. If you turn the engine off, it won't start again. And I'm like that personally. So if I turn my energy off and my commitment to the business and so on, I find it really difficult, like months just to get back into the fold. And I just find it really difficult. And yeah, we were saying just before, and just recently, I've spent a lot of time on the beach. I've been eating a lot of tapas here in Spain. It's, you know, the food is amazing. You don't have to do a lot, and it's easy to allow that to take over your life. But actually, there's nothing like, it's almost like you're a tiger living out in a jungle in Africa, let's say, and now you've been caught and you've been put in a zoo, and the fierceness behind the eyes starts to go dull. And then when you get the intensity back, it's like you're back out in Africa and you're ready to go gobble up some people, you know. And it's maintaining that intensity. Some people find it really hard. And I've realized that if I'm not engaged, I mean, yesterday, for example, I mean, I'm putting in a lot of hours at the moment. I forgot to eat. And it was like, right. I didn't eat till like 4 or 5 p.m. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to eat. And my stomach was grumbling, and I knew it was grumbling, but I didn't pay it any attention because I was so engaged in what I was doing. And when you get yourself to that state, you can do anything because you're so engaged with what you're doing. And you're clearly at that level right now.
Right. Yeah, no, 100%, man. I think, like I said, you and I do, like, we're the same type of guys. Like, we can't, once we realize, like, okay, it's time to get engaged, like, there's times I forget to shower.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there working, and I look up, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Like, we've got, like, what's going, what just happened? So, but again, I guess that's what happens when you love what you do.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so it's not like, oh, I'm looking at the clock, hoping I can't wait to burn time. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to turn the clock backwards and still slow it down.
Yeah,
you know, working. So I can't wait. Real quick, what part of Spain are you in?
So I'm in Valencia, just north of Valencia, about an hour. A place called Castellón, and just 10 minutes north of that is a little town called Benicassim. We're about 100 meters from the beach, 6 kilometers of beautiful white sandy beaches. It's beautiful. You've traveled because you spent 7 years traveling, didn't you? Whereabouts did you go when you traveled?
Yeah, we've been all over, but we did stay in Barcelona, Barcelona area, Barceloneta, which is right there on the beach.
Barcelona's beautiful.
We were there for about a month, and then my wife and I, we actually walked the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, fabulous.
Across northern Spain. So you start off in France for a day.
Yeah.
I think what, Saint Jean Pied. But like you, we walked from, it was a 42 day walk, which was kind of cool. But it was awesome. I'm going to do that walk again when my son gets older. I want to be able to connect with him at that next level. He might kill me and I might kill him on the walk.
Well, listen, if you do that, pop in. I'll put the kettle on. We can have a cup of tea, a cup of English tea. Even though we're in Spain. Listen, dude, I just want to say thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been awesome. I'm going to get those two books and I'll put a link to those books that you've mentioned. What's your website if people want to find out more about you and what you do?
Yeah, no, I mean, they can definitely. So there's a couple different ones on my investment business. It's called AmericanWealthBuilders.com.
Okay.
AmericanWealthBuilders.com. And then, you know, you can follow me at MarkEvansDM.com. You know, I'm making posts every day. I have a videographer that works for us full time now. Daniel, I think you've seen some videos that we were starting to work on.
I love that last video. That was an awesome video.
Awesome, man. Thank you. So, you know, really, I want to engage with people. Again, not just my, you know, my family and my life, but like, I want people to see the hustle behind it. You know, you and I, maybe it doesn't seem like we hustle, but like, it's a different type of hustle.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. We're thinking how to grow the business. We could send email, like with technology at our fingertips today,
yep.
It's never been easier, which makes it harder for some people because they get, you know, shiny object syndrome, they're all over.
Yep.
Now you have to be more focused than ever because there are so many opportunities. So I'm just trying to show people behind the scenes of what it takes to be successful and that. I think that's lacking in our industry. Everyone's like, oh, buy a property, make 10 grand.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to like elevate the visibility to that world.
Rich dad, poor dad, you know, one day he's sleeping in the back of his car and the next day he's a millionaire. It's like, well, what happened in the middle? And you never get to find out. Oh, well, we made investments. Yeah, but what did you do? No, I'm not telling you that. It's like, well, you know, it doesn't work. And the other thing I was going to say was the Michael Jordan video where he says, maybe it's my fault. Maybe I made it look too easy. And
right.
And I think people have that. They see somebody, let's say yourself, and they just see the shiny object and the nice cars and the nice house and the lifestyle, whatever, right? The cigars and so on.
Right.
Those cigars look cool, by the way. I don't even smoke, and I thought, oh, they look so cool. But that's all they see, and they think that that's life. And it's not. It's just a snapshot of who you are. They don't see, you know, if you're the example I use is if you're a swan, and the swan is moving forward on the water. What people see is a swan. What they don't see is underneath the little swans kicking like crazy to get somewhere. And that's what you and I are doing. But most people don't see that, you see. So
no,
yeah,
100%.
That's awesome, dude. So I'll put those websites onto the podcast as well. And I'd just like to say thank you for taking up, you know, really valuable time. I know you're up early. You've got a mega busy day as usual. And thank you once again.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.